morning, everyone. Great to see you all today. I just have one quick announcement before we dive in, and it's just by way of reminder that starting in September 1st, we'll be getting a pastoral intern. Oren Printy and his wife, Danny, and their son, Wesley, will be moving to Wishick, Lord willing. We don't have an exact date yet, but probably the middle of August, which is coming up very soon. And so I just wanted to remind you all of that, and let's be praying for Oren and his family as they come here in August and as he starts in September. And so I'm really excited for him and for them to come here and be a part of our church with us. So with that, let's go to the Lord in prayer as we dive into his word. O Lord, how many are our foes? Many are rising up against us. God, we are facing spiritual warfare. God, we're fighting against sin. We are fighting against illness and sickness and death and relational strife and financial troubles and so many things that we're fighting against. God, we come before you and we pray that you would be a shield about us, that you would be our protection and our peace. I pray that you would be our salvation. And I pray that by the power of your Spirit, as we look at your word, I pray that we would be encouraged and comforted as well as challenged to turn to you first, no matter what it is that we're going through. Speak to us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, please take your copy of God's Word and turn with me to Psalm chapter 3. Psalm 3 is what we'll be looking at this morning. Our words for kids, I have two of them, help and salvation. Help and salvation. Well, we're continuing our summer sermon series in the Psalms. What did you say, Dan, the summer of Psalms? Yeah, we're in the summer of Psalms. We've made it to Psalm 3. Our theme for this series comes from Martin Luther, where Luther professed that knowing one psalm is better than all the riches of the world. And that's an amazing statement, that knowing, studying, reading, memorizing, meditating on, clinging to one psalm is greater than all the riches of the world. And so my challenge to all of us this summer is to pick one of the psalms that we're going through and to own it, to know it, to study it, to memorize it, to cling to it, because that one psalm is greater than all the riches of the world. And so why not Psalm 3? Why not Psalm 3? It's a great, great psalm. This psalm was written, by way of background information, it was written by King David when his own son Absalom was trying to kill him. And so keep that in mind as we look at this psalm together. So Psalm 3, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Psalm 3, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom his son. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. Selah. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. Selah. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. Selah. This is God's holy word that cannot and therefore does not fail. You may be seated. When life is hard, Where do you turn first? When you need help, where do you turn first? When the tornado siren goes off, what do you do first? When the depression hits, where do you go first? When you need help, who do you ask first? When you're needy, who do you go to first? When you're anxious, where do you turn to first? When you're afraid, what's your first response? When you're tempted to sin, what do you do first? When your sin overwhelms your soul, where do you go first? When you need help, where do you turn to first? Well, as we look at this passage this morning, this passage is going to make it clear that salvation belongs to the Lord, and therefore we should turn to Him first. Turn to the Lord first. Okay, as we begin this psalm, it's important to note that as you look at the psalms, a number of the psalms, they have these superscriptions at the beginning of them, and these are actually a part of the Old Testament text, so these are inspired background information that we have of these psalms, and they're really helpful. In our case this morning, we have the inspired background account of this psalm. It says, a psalm of David. So it was written by David, and it was when he was fleeing from his son, Absalom. Now, the narrative of the account of David fleeing from his son comes from 2 Samuel chapter 13 through 18. So it's kind of a long account, and I'm going to do my best just to summarize it here real briefly. You can go back and read some of the details. But this account actually is taking place because of David's sin. So in 2 Samuel 11 and 12, David sinned grievously against the Lord by taking Bathsheba and by putting Uriah to death. And the Lord said in chapter 12 that the sword will not depart from your house. And then a chain of events takes place. There's a conflict between three of David's children. Eventually what happens is one of David's children, Absalom, stole the hearts of the men of Israel, and he was trying to kill David and take over his kingdom. And it was so bad that David had to flee Jerusalem. And it was, the text makes it really clear how bad it was. It says that he left, he was barefoot, they were weeping, and they had their heads covered. It was a terrible day. He was fleeing for his life from his own son. And to make matters worse, as he was fleeing, there was a dude named Shimei who was cursing David, and he was throwing stones at them. So that's kind of the background. And just put yourself in David's shoes. Imagine having to flee from your home. You've left all of your earthly comfort, and you've left the special presence of God, which at that time was in Jerusalem. And you're running for your life from your own son who is trying to kill you. That's the background of this psalm. And just keep that in mind as we work our way through this passage. So with this context in mind, David begins in verses 1 and 2 by crying out to the Lord. Look at it with me. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. David begins by crying out to the Lord. David pours out his heart to the Lord. He begins, O Lord. Now this phrase, O Lord, shows a deep spiritual intimacy. And it's the intimate equivalent of saying something like Abba, Father, in the New Testament. So this whole psalm comes out of deep intimacy with the Lord. And he cries out to the Lord. He says, O Lord, there are so many people who hate me. They're coming up against me. My own son has become my enemy. Lord, I have so many enemies, and they're telling me that I can't even go to you and find salvation. Now, the word for salvation here means more than just what we generally think of. We think of salvation as being spiritual, eternal salvation. Now, of course, it definitely points to that. It definitely means that. But the idea in the word for salvation basically just means help. And you can think about salvation in this way. If you're truly saved in the eternal spiritual sense, it's not just one day you're going to go to heaven. It's an entire salvation package, if you want to think about it that way. It's God being with you every moment of every day. It's God being your helper, no matter what it is that you are going through. So salvation is eternal, yes, but it's also God with us now. Okay, so David begins by telling the Lord how he feels. He's pouring out his heart and he's sharing his situation. And beloved believer, we can do the same. We can pour out our hearts to the Lord. We can cry out to him. What is it that you're going through right now? What enemies are you facing? Is Satan tempting you to despair? Do you continue to struggle with that same sin over and over and over again? Are people making fun of you for holding to Scripture? Are you fighting against constant sickness? Are you just plain exhausted? Are you grieving? You can tell it to the Lord. You can cry out to him. Now, the temptation for us that Satan wants us to be tempted by is he wants us to, instead of turning to the Lord, he wants us to knock on wood, or he wants us to cross our fingers. Satan wants us to turn to self-help, or Satan wants us to believe the lie that, you know what, I'm a strong North Dakotan. I don't need help. But my friends, you do need help. You need Christ. You don't need superstition like knocking on wood. You need Christ. You don't need self-help. You need God's help. Therefore, our great enemy wants us to turn to these false things for salvation. He wants us to think that we shouldn't or that we can't turn to God for help. And so the question that we need to ask is, when you need help, when you need salvation, where do you turn first? Salvation belongs to the Lord. So let us turn to him first by crying out to him. And beloved, this is our heritage in Christ. I've heard stories of the older generation of women in this church who were on their knees before God, just crying out to him in German. Now, I have no idea what they were praying because I wasn't there and I didn't hear it. But this is our heritage. I just love that picture of these older women on their knees crying out to the Lord in prayer. That's our heritage in Christ, and that's the gift that God has given us, that we can cry out to him. We can go to him on our knees and he hears us. So let us turn to the Lord by crying out to him. Now, after crying out to the Lord, David reminds himself of some important truths of the Lord. Look at verse 3 with me. He says, "But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head." You, O Lord, are a shield about me. Now remember, David is, he's in the wilderness. He's running for his life. He has little to no protection. But he says that the Lord is a shield about him. And I love the imagery here. The Lord is a shield about him. So imagine that. We saw that picture from Peggy, which is really helpful. Imagine a handheld shield by a soldier. That shield is only going to protect you in the front where you're holding it. It's only going to protect you for how big that shield is. But what David is saying is that the Lord is a shield about him. In other words, the Lord is a shield all the way around him. So he's not just protection from the front, he's protection from the back, he's protection from the left, he's protection from the right. He is a shield all the way around David, and he is a shield all the way around us believers. He is our protection, he is our shelter. Now, as we look at in Psalm 2, this doesn't mean that hard things are not going to happen to us. What it means is that the only place that we can find true and ultimate protection is in God. What it means is that we can truly live and believe that the Lord will not permit the righteous to be moved. It means that no matter what we go through, one day we will receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And while we wait for that day, let us find protection in the Lord, because the Lord is a shield about us. O rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Now, what does this look like practically? What do I mean practically? This is kind of what I have in my mind. So let's just go back to the tornado siren, which they just put right here. In God's kind providence, is like 20 feet from our house. So we'll be able to hear it if it goes off. But if the tornado siren goes off, you need to go to the basement. Okay, what I'm not saying is that you shouldn't go to the basement when something like that. But what I'm praying for is that it would be our natural inclination that when the tornado siren goes off, that the first thing that we do is we say, Lord, help us. Lord, protect us. Lord, protect our community. And then go to the basement. You know what I'm saying? Turn to the Lord first, because He is our protection. Now David goes on and he says, the Lord is His glory. Remember that David's kingship is at stake here. He's on the run for his life. His own son is trying to take his kingship and his kingdom away from him. And what David is saying is that the Lord is the only true, glorious one. He is the only one where true honor can come from. And so he finds his honor and his glory not in himself, not in his kingship, but in the Lord. And in the same way, we might be trying to find honor in our community or in our schools through how big our farms are or how much money we have or how self-righteous we are or who we hang out with or whatever it might be. But this text reminds us that we should not find our honor and our glory in those things. We should find our honor and our glory from the Lord Himself. Turn to the Lord to find true honor. But the Lord is also the lifter of our heads. Think of how downcast David is. Remember when he left Jerusalem, he was bare feet, he was weeping, he had his head covered. It was a terrible day of grief and sadness. His own son is trying to kill him, but the Lord is the lifter of his head. And again, I love the imagery here. Imagine a child who is being bullied, and you see the child crying and running into the corner of his room, and he's just down there downcast. But imagine a loving father going to the child and just lifting up the child's head, looking him in the eyes and saying, it's going to be all right, child. I'm going to make all things okay. Are you feeling like that child who's getting beat down by your enemies? Is your head down with sadness? Is your soul downcast? I want you to imagine God the Father gently lifting up your chin and telling you, it's going to be all right, child, because I'm going to make things all right. That is our beloved Abba Father. He is the lifter of our heads. So let us turn to God first as the one who lifts up our heads. When you need help, where do you turn to first? Salvation belongs to the Lord. He alone is a shield all the way around us. He is our glory. He is the lifter of our heads. So let us turn to Him first. And verse 4 gives us even more confidence to turn to Him. Verse 4, look at it with me. I cried aloud to the Lord, and He answered me from His holy hill. Remember that David has been forcefully removed from the holy hill of the Lord. He is away from the special presence of God, and yet he cried out to the Lord even when he was in the wilderness, and the Lord answered him. What confidence he had to pour out his heart to the Lord. And you know what? We can have an even greater confidence to pour out our hearts to the Lord, because through Jesus Christ, we are not removed from the presence of God. Through Christ, God is with us, and we can pour out our hearts to Him because Jesus Christ ascended into the heavens. He is seated at the right hand of God. He is our great high priest who always lives to make intercession for us. And Jesus is there not only praying His own prayers on our behalf, but He is taking our prayers and He's bringing them to the throne of God. Now, when I was a missionary in Uganda, I was the assistant to the director, and part of my job was to help the director out by weeding out all of the messages and meetings that he didn't necessarily need to be at just to kind of protect his time. And so if you wanted to get a message to the director, whether that's email or if you wanted to meet with him or whatever it might be, you had to go through me. Not everybody, his wife could go to him. Like, his wife did not have to go to me. But for the most part, you had to go through me so that you could get to the director, and I had the ear of the director, and I was saying, you need to respond to this message right now. And he would listen to me, and he would respond to that message. Well, in a similar way, every prayer that we pray goes to the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus brings that prayer into the throne and into the ear of God the Father. And the beauty is, the Lord Jesus is not selective in the things that he's saying God needs to respond to. He has the ear of God the Father, and he's saying, every single one of your prayers you need to respond to. And you know what? God listens. God listens to Jesus. And so every single one of our prayers makes it to the throne of God, and God the Father responds to every single one of them. Now, sometimes his answer is no. Sometimes his answer is not yet. Sometimes his answer is in a completely different way than what you were thinking. But God hears and he answers every single one of our prayers. What confidence we have to boldly approach the throne room of God. What confidence we have to cry out to the Lord when we need help. God hears us. So let us turn to the Lord by praying to him confidently. Look at verse 5. The psalm continues. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. Now again, David is away from all of his comforts. His own son is trying to kill him. He's in the wilderness. And this says that he lay down and he slept. Not only that, he woke again. How many of you, or let me say it this way, how well would you sleep in a situation like that? I would not do well. Just going to be honest with you. I don't know how you would do. I would do terrible. But David is able to lay down and sleep. And this actually points forward to Jesus. If you remember the story of Jesus when they're in this huge storm, they're on the boat, and Jesus is just in there sleeping. The text says that there arose this great storm. The disciples thought they were going to die, but Jesus is just in there sleeping. How is it possible that Jesus is sleeping in the midst of such a storm? How is it possible that David is able to lay down and sleep in the midst of such a terrible situation? It's only possible because they knew that the Lord was their protection. They knew that the Lord cared for them. They knew that the Lord was going to provide for them. They knew that the Lord would sustain them. Beloved believer, we can have the same sort of blessed assurance that the Lord will sustain us. In Christ, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guards our hearts and our minds so that we can live in perfect peace even in the midst of the battle, even in the midst of the storm. No matter what you are going through, you can have a deep and abiding and a perfect peace in Christ Jesus. But that peace only comes from Christ Jesus. So let me ask you, where do you typically turn to first for peace? Do you turn to the Lord, or do you try to resolve the issue on your own? Where do you typically turn to first when you need sustenance or support? Do you go to the Lord, or do you ask for help from a family member? As one theologian puts it, too often plans come before prayers. How many blessings we miss by conceiving our own schemes only to see God frustrate them later and work out his own plan. Too often plans come before prayers. It's okay to plan, but let us turn to the Lord first. Turn to Jesus first for peace. Turn to Jesus first for sustenance. Now, because of David's deep confidence in the Lord, he continues in verse 6. Look at verse 6 with me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Again, I love the imagery of this psalm. David had just proclaimed in verse 3 that the Lord is a shield all the way around him, The Lord is his protection from every angle. And now he's saying there are many thousands of people who are coming up all the way around him. They have him surrounded. And if you are surrounded, that's a dangerous place to be if you're trying to escape. Imagine playing tag. How many of you have played tag before? One person. All right. Maybe we'll have an impromptu game of tag after church this morning. Just joking. But if you're playing tag, imagine that there's four people who are it, and they're all coming after you, and they all have a different side of you. They have you surrounded all around. If you're surrounded from every area, that's the most dangerous place to be because you have no place to escape. And that's what David is saying here. He's saying that his enemies have surrounded him from every side. They're all around him. He has no place to escape. But what does he say? I'm not afraid. What? You have nowhere to go, but you're not afraid? Why can he say that? He can say that because the Lord is a shield all the way around him. The Lord is his protection from every angle. Therefore, he's safe, and he has no reason to fear, even though he is literally in the valley of the shadow of death. What do you fear? Do you fear death? Failing health? Finances? Satan? Bad dreams? Hell? Beloved believer, in Christ, we have no reason to fear because the Lord is a shield all the way around us. Again, this doesn't mean that hard things are not going to come our way, but what it means is that ultimately and eternally we are safe in Christ Jesus. And so let me quote Jesus himself. Do not fear, only believe. Do not fear, only believe. Turn to the Lord first when you are afraid. And this is exactly what David does. Look at verse 7. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. With complete confidence in the Lord, David cries out to the Lord to arise and to save him. And again, I love the imagery here. I just love this psalm. It's so good. In verse 1, many foes are rising up against David. But here, he's calling on the Lord to rise up against his foes. And even though you have enemies that are rising up against you, if someone bigger and stronger and greater rises up against your enemies, you're safe. It's like that kid getting picked on at the park, and then the bigger, badder, older brother comes around, and that scares all of those other kids away, doesn't it? When someone bigger and stronger is there to defeat your enemies, you're safe. That's the Lord. He's the one we can turn to because he's the one who's bigger and stronger than anyone. He's the one who's going to strike all of our enemies on the cheek. He's going to break the teeth of the wicked. Now, that's pretty strong language, isn't it? And that's language of humiliation. To be struck on the cheek is language of just strong humiliation. And to break the teeth of the wicked is actually language of like a vicious animal losing its teeth, which would mean losing its strength. We had a friend when we lived in Mississippi. He was just going out for a jog, and as he was jogging, now some of the details of this story are fuzzy, but he was jogging and there were, I believe, two pit bulls who started chasing him. And I actually think he ended up getting bit by the pit bulls and he had to climb into a tree. That's what I remember happening. Some of the details are fuzzy, but I know that these scary pit bulls were chasing after him. Now just imagine, now that would be scary, right? But just imagine if those pit bulls had their teeth knocked out of them. Now, I still wouldn't mess with them, but that pit bull without teeth would be humiliated and it would lose its strength. That's what this text is saying. That's what the Lord is going to do to all of his enemies. He's going to humiliate them. He's going to take away their strength. And it teaches an important biblical truth that the Lord will save his people by humiliating and destroying all of his and our enemies. And you know what? That's exactly what happened in the story of David and Absalom. What happened was They were in battle, and Absalom was riding his mule. And as he was riding, he ran into a great oak tree, and he ended up getting stuck in the tree. And so he's suspended in the air, and Joab comes along and takes care of the business. But why is this such a humiliating story? It's because in the Bible, Deuteronomy 21, it says, "Cursed is anyone who is hanged on a tree." And that person is cursed because if they're hanging on the tree, they're worthy of neither heaven and they're worthy of neither earth. They're suspended in midair, and they're not worthy of either of those things. They are cursed. And that's what the Lord did to deliver David. And as I think of this psalm, and by the way, as we read Scripture, it's all about Christ. So the Lord in this psalm points forward to Christ, who is the Lord in the flesh. David in this psalm points forward to Jesus, who is the true and better David, and all of these things Jesus lived out. But as I think about this psalm, what blows me away is that just as Absalom was, he died a cursed death on the tree, so did Jesus. Jesus died the cursed death on the tree, where he was suspended, worthy neither of heaven or of earth, as he bore the full wrath of God, not for people who were good, but for his enemies. So as we read this psalm and as we think about Scripture, we must be reminded that before anyone is a believer, you are an enemy of God. Romans 5 says that while we were his enemies, Christ died for us. Christ died the death of enemies for his enemies, so that we who were his enemies can now be his children and saved, and we can receive that full salvation. Beloved, we are saved because Jesus was cursed. We are saved because Jesus was humiliated and destroyed on the cross. Praise God. And at the same time, Colossians 2:15 tells us that when Jesus died on the cross, he disarmed the demonic rulers and authorities, and he put them to an open shame by triumphing over them. In Jesus' first coming, he broke the teeth of Satan and his minions. Satan is disarmed in one sense. Now, he's still prowling around like a roaring lion, but he has been disarmed. And one day, Jesus is going to come back, and he's going to completely destroy Satan and all of the wicked. And as we keep these things in mind, we can truly live and believe and proclaim verse 8. Look at verse 8. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. Remember that David's enemies told him in verse 2 that there is no salvation for him in God. But David now triumphantly proclaims that salvation belongs to the Lord. Beloved, if there's anyone who tells you that believing in the Lord for salvation is stupid, or if there's anyone who tells you that believing in the Lord for salvation is foolish or that it's not true, they are dead wrong. Why? Because salvation belongs to the Lord. Throughout history, there has never been another Savior, only the Lord. In the present, there is no other Savior, only the Lord. And in the future, there will be no other Savior, only the Lord. He is the Lord, and there is no Savior besides him. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Oh, hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. The Lord alone is our strength and our song. He alone is our salvation, because salvation belongs to the Lord. Where do you turn to first for help? Where do you turn to first for salvation? Beloved, the Lord and the Lord alone is our protection. He is our honor. He is the lifter of our head. He's the only place where we can find peace. He's the one we can go to so that our prayers can be heard. He's the one who makes even our greatest fears not fearful. He's the one who's going to defeat all of our enemies, and he's the only Savior of our eternal souls. Salvation belongs to the Lord, and so let us turn to him first. And my prayer for all of us this week has been that we would have such deep spiritual intimacy with the Lord, just like David in the Psalm, that no matter what it is that we're going through, no matter how small or how big, our natural inclination, because we're so close to the Lord, would be, Lord, help me. Lord, I need you. I pray that we would turn to the Lord early and often and always, because salvation belongs to the Lord. Amen? Let's pray. Oh Lord, we praise you that salvation belongs to you. God, we thank you for salvation. We thank you for eternal salvation. Thank you that through repentance and faith, we will one day get to be with you. But we also thank you for the full package of salvation, that you are with us every moment of every day, that you are our helper, you are our protection, you are our shield, the lifter of our heads, our peace, the one that we can go to know that our prayers are answered. You are the one who will destroy our enemies. You are the one who helps us when we are afraid. God, I pray that we would turn to you first. I pray that we would continually turn to you. I pray that we would have such deep spiritual intimacy with you that it would just be our natural inclination, that throughout our days we're going to you over and over and over again. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that salvation belongs to you. Help us now to praise you in response to this glorious truth, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.